Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. Hey, I'm very, very excited today. My zany, this is my zany week this week and next week. For me, with my business, is just every year. And every year, you know, I try to say, oh, well, we're going to do it this week, this year. And it just, people wait to the last minute. They need rush orders, commission paintings and stuff. And I'm just, it's just how it is, you know? So I stack up on coffee and junk food and no junk food. Actually, Danny's got me on this real healthy diet lately. Drinking smoothies for breakfast and everything, you know, it's with cauliflower in them even. It's crazy, but you know, it seems to be working. I'm not as, I'm living on 2 hours of sleep, but I'm not as tired as last year. So that's a good thing. But not only am I excited to be able to take a break from painting to do the show, we have a fantastic guest on today for you. I am a huge fan of his television series. It's on Amazon Prime right now, and it's just one of the most innovative, just cool thriller series that I've seen in a long time, and it is just fantastic. And season two just dropped, and without further ado, I want to welcome our guest today, star of the show, Mr. Ryan Hellquist, and the name of the show, L.A. Macaw. Ryan, how are
Hello.
You?
I'm doing great. Hello, hello. Hi there. How are you doing today?
I am doing fantastic, I'm a little loopy. I haven't been sleeping much lately, yet, but I'm all right, man. I'm all right. I haven't been sleeping because I've been watching L.A. Macabre, and hard to sleep after watching
that'll
that. It's
that'll keep you up tonight, for sure.
I am telling you. Well, Ryan, this is amazing, an amazing show. You're a fantastic actor. You also produce on this. Now, this started out as you guys did the season one on YouTube, right?
That's correct, yeah. So it started as a found footage web series. And the web series on YouTube was kind of based around a show within a show. So the characters in L.A. Macabre have a show on YouTube called L.A. Macabre, and I'm the host of that show within the show. But yeah, then as season two has now evolved into a more traditional television style series. Yeah.
It's fantastic. I saw somewhere, and I can't remember where, but somebody said that you guys shot season two. I'm not in the film business. I'm just a civilian cinephile. I love film and shows and whatnot. I'm that annoying guy that, you know, you're friends with that will make you watch a movie with subtitles and then talk about it for 2 hours. You know, that's just me.
Oh, but that's what I love.
Yeah, me too. I'm into it, man. There is a term where you shoot it in sequence. I know that's not the right term I'm looking for, but it's, you guys, that's how you shot it, right? Like, because sometimes a lot of times with filming, it'll jump around, but you guys did this all in series, right?
For the most part, I will say that there were, you know, definitely some scenes that were shot out of sequence, and also, you know, especially with a micro budget like we had, you have to find ways to, you know, save money. And one of the biggest things to save money in filmmaking is that when you have a location, you use that location for the entire run of the season, you know. So whatever scenes that are taking place in that location for the whole season, you want to film all of those scenes, you know, when you have that location. So aside from something like that, where we have a location, let's say the police station, for example, any scene that was shot in the police station, that was all done, you know, in 1 week at a, on a soundstage with a, you know, police station set. And, but other than something like that, yeah, for the most part in general, it was shot in sequence. I mean, our first day of filming season two is the, you know, the kind of one of the first opening scenes that you see in the first episode of Ryan and Colin going to meet up with Jamie, my sister, on her birthday, on her 18th birthday when she's released from foster parents. So that's like the very first thing we shot in season two, and it's one of the first things you see on season two. So yeah, so in terms of that, we did, and the very last scene in the season was also one of the very last sequences that was filmed. So yeah, on the general, yeah.
That's awesome, man. That is so cool. Well, this is such a an original. I like, you know, it's a thriller, but I like that. You know, we in our house, I'm telling you, man, I call them murder shows. My wife watches all these these crime shows. You know, yeah, you know,
yeah.
Somebody's done somebody wrong, and she's driving over them with a car. Mm-hmm. That's the show she likes to watch. So I'm usually on my best behavior because, you know, I know she has a lot of ideas if I'm not. No, I'm kidding. But she's into it. And so I told her about this, and I said, hey, I've got the thing. And this is available on Amazon Prime right now as well, right? I mean, if you have Amazon, you can watch this, ladies and gentlemen.
And season one and two, yeah.
How cool is that? Now, of course, you know, they sent over the screeners and everything, and so we did it that way. But the thing is I was telling her about it, and she's like, put it on, man, put it on. And so we sat there for several days, several evenings, as soon as she got off of her job, you know. We'd have dinner and watch your show. We were drawn
wow.
into it, man. Yeah,
oh, that's
it
great.
Is.
That's great. Thank you. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, did you, the folks you were working with in making this, Hast and, you know, Adrian Bristow and whatnot. Did you know all these folks, or did you get a script from your agent? How did it come about your involvement in the show?
Yeah. Great question. Yeah. So there was only a couple of people that I knew prior to working on the show. I knew David Castro, who plays Bennett. I knew him from working, on a web series called Fallout Nuka Break. And he was, the antagonist sure. in that. And I was one of kind of his, one of his henchmen, you know, so we had worked together a couple of different times. And he's, you know, he's really fun to work with. And then, Dan asked, he wrote the second season of Fallout Nuka Break. And how this all came about for me, being a part of LA Macabre is that he had LA Macabre, kind of ready to go and had some of the pieces in place and a lot of the characters were already cast, but he just couldn't find the right, fit for Ryan. He didn't, you know, have a clear, like, actor in mind for that role. And we met at the rap party for, Nuka Break, and I was just interested in, you know, I knew that he was the writer, but I hadn't met him yet. And I would just love Fallout and wanted to talk to him about stuff. And we just had a great conversation and hit it off. And he told me, you know, a while later, he's like, you know, the reason I called you in to audition for the show is because you had such sincerity and you were talking to me like you just were genuinely interested in me. Where I think he's had some experiences in the past because he's a director and because he's a writer, you know, a lot of actors who talk to him are just trying to get him to put him in the show or get him to do something for them. And, you know, with me,
right.
that wasn't the case. I just wanted to talk to him. I thought he was a cool guy. So he liked that sincerity and that genuineness and thought that those were qualities that would need to be in for Ryan Holbrook. And so it was like months after that party that he, you know, hit me up to audition for the show and then I got it. So yeah, very, very
no, that's fantastic.
That.
You know, and we get a lot of, listeners who are, you know, getting into independent film and whatnot and they want to be, you know, not only making films, but also acting in it and, you know, the whole bit. they want to be doing what you're doing, Ryan. And, you know, that's a good life lesson there. Go to as many parties
yeah.
as you can and be nice to people. How about that?
Absolutely.
You know?
No, that, I couldn't have said it better. Yep.
Yeah.
You never know. It's a balance. It's a balance. I forget if it was Brian Grazer or something like that, but he was talking about the balance between parties and, you know, dedicating time to your craft. And I'm just
right.
by nature, I love parties. I love house parties. I love meeting people. I love, you know, interacting with big groups. I love getting individual one-on-one time with people. I love it. So, but I also am really, you know, dedicated to acting and I want to study that craft. So, but you do have to balance it because the business side of it is mostly, you know, your network and how you meet people
mm-hmm.
and how you are people getting in the minds of people so that they think of you for those roles. So yeah, you do have to be nice, be respectful and be genuinely interested in people and go to parties and you know, mix and mingle with the folks.
That's right. Network. I remember I went to my
network.
First film festival and it was in San Diego and I was living out there. I lived out there for about 10 years and I had never been to a film festival before. And my first, when I left the film festival, I had to go for, it was like a 3-day, you know how they do those 3-day type deals. And I had to go back for the second night. But before I went that morning, I went and had, you know, 10,000 business cards printed that day, picked them up on the way there because I'm like, I need business cards galore. You know, I had them in the back seat.
Right.
And, just, you know, had to keep going out there and restocking my supply. But, you're very right. You know, and you never know. You know, the weird thing is, I remember meeting some people at, like, one of the many things like that. You don't hear from them for 6 months, maybe a year. Then the phone rings, and
sure,
all of a sudden,
yeah.
there's some big opportunity, you know, and you're like, I'm really glad
yeah.
I did that. You know?
Yeah.
That's a good thing. That is cool. Let me ask you this. You know, being an actor, now you guys are doing, you know, kind of, I would imagine, almost guerrilla filming in a way. I mean, you had mentioned micro-budget before. You know, you're not, this isn't the set of The Mandalorian is all I'm saying. You know what I mean? You have
right.
to be very
aware
of what you're doing. But also another additional hat that you wear on this is a producer. And, you know, you're part of that as well. And, you know, so, of course, you've got that, you know, kind of dollars on the brain a little bit, you know, and you have to with that role. Is it hard to find the balance between those two types of roles in this project? Or was it hard, I should say?
Yeah, for this project, I wasn't as much involved in the you know, the really nitty-gritty production of things. And so I was able to kind of just focus on the acting and focus on the character and focus on
right.
the next scene that's coming up. But, you know, having that said, it's something that I'm very passionate about and love everybody that I was working with. And you know, because I was there and we're all pulling together. I mean, that's the thing about this micro-budget, you know, and this small but mighty crew and these amazing actors is that, you know, you got folks who are helping with set dressing. You got, you know, we're carrying camera gear onto set. We're helping, you know, kind of clean up. We're, you know, Korsko was really great about, you know, helping with like the crock pot meals that Dan would make. And, you know, here he's trying to, you know, direct and plan the next scene for the next day. And he's cooking up crock pot meals. And then Korsko's cooking up crock pot meals. And like, you know, all these hands are coming together to make the whole thing happen. And honestly, it wouldn't have gotten done any other way. So
right.
I think in that aspect, it wasn't hard to, you know, compartmentalize those two roles because they were so synergistic. It's like, hey, we're going out to set. I'll grab a couple things of gear because we don't have, you know, a ton of PAs on set today. So yeah, I've got no problem. I'm already going over there. Yeah. Grab some gear. Let's go. You know,
Nice. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
This is a message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Older adults and people of any age who have serious underlying medical conditions are at higher risk for severe illness from COVID-19. If you are at higher risk, you should stay home as much as possible and avoid close contact with people who are sick to protect yourself. Call your doctor if you have concerns about COVID-19 and your medical condition, or if you get sick. For more information, visit cdc.gov.
Elbae Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books, like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
Well, see, and this show, it has heart, you know what I mean? You can feel that there's something real genuine between, and the chemistry is just fantastic in it. And, you know, we've mentioned the term micro-budget a couple times, but I don't want people, if they haven't seen season one or anything like that, or season two yet, to think that this film looks inexpensive. It certainly does not, and that just goes to show, you know, how good you guys are, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This looks like an amazing, you know, that there's cranes and stuff and cameras on dollies and, you know, but it's really cool. It's shot really well.
Thank,
I don't know if that's just
for
equipment or lighting or what, but it's fantastic.
Well, thank you for saying that, because I agree. I also don't want anybody to get that impression, because it does look amazing. And a lot of that goes to Austin Smoke, our cinematographer. I mean, she, you know, most cinematographers on a bigger production crew will have a team of people working on lighting, working on the camera, you know, having a whole camera crew. For the most part, it was her, with maybe one or two assistants on some of the bigger days, or we had a you know, somebody running a second camera. But for the most part, that was all her in terms of the look of it. And then, you know, you've got the incredible talent of Dan Ast, who is directing, writing, and producing, but he's also going to be editing it. So he's editing while he's on set. So he knows exactly, you know, most of the time what shot he wants to get and how that's going to line up in the edit room. And again, that helps with the look of the show. And then he also became a lot of set design and set decorating. We always joke about that. And so, you know, that creates the world that looks like a highly produced thing. when it was just, you know, pulled together, you know, by this small, mighty crew of people. And you know, David Shatanoff, our producer and sound designer, kind of rounds out the trio of our core, you know, crew. So that I think I attribute it to those individuals and their talent for being able to squeeze as much production value out of the budget that they had.
Yeah, it's amazing. They did a fantastic job. I'm telling you, when I first saw the trailer for it, I don't want to give anything away, but this was in the trailer, so I'm safe there.
Yeah, it's in the trailer.
That little scene where the knock is coming from the underneath the ground, you know, and you see the earth.
That's my absolute favorite. Yeah.
I'm like, whoa, this ain't good. That ain't good. What's going to happen? Yeah, watch it. It was fantastic. Let me ask you this. Okay, so you have season one. It's on YouTube. It's a web series. It's doing great. I imagine it's getting tons of views and whatnot. And then did you guys just go, we got to do season two? Or was there any trepidation about, jumping it up a little bit?
Yeah, Dan had always planned on this being a three season arc. There is three seasons planned for this show and for all the characters and the stories involved. And he has since created some feature film offshoots and some other ideas that are within this universe or the macabreverse, as they call it. But so season two and three was always in the cards to want to be done. The ambitiousness of it was there as well, but we could only do it if we had a certain amount of money. And there was a threshold, and I don't know the number, but you know, that basically if you go below that, you really just can't pull off the quality that, you know, we want, and with the type of characters and the locations and the story, all the things that you enjoy about it, we couldn't do without a certain number. So that was the only hesitation. And so we worked really hard after season one. We did a great round of film festivals and did kind of the awards circuit, best drama series, best horror, a lot of best actors and a lot of great nominations and awards for season one. And that helped us transition right into our Kickstarter campaign for season two. And then that really, you know, kicked it off for being able to unlock, you know, being able to create season two.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I've never done a Kickstarter. I have a good friend of mine. She's a musician, and you know, her last seven albums, and she does everything DIY and or DIY
mm-hmm.
or DIY. That's right. And she utilizes Kickstarter, and it's interesting. I was talking to her. She's, you know, she brokers commercial real estate and for her day job, and I'm like, so you know, how much of the, and she's like, I took a break from the day job whenever I do a Kickstarter because it's like a second and third job. You have to be really on it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's one of those things that I really wish I would have thought of. Like I said, when I lived in Southern California, this is pre-Kickstarter, and I went to a lot of fundraising parties. You know, I was always donating paintings and because I had friends that were trying to do, you know, get funds together to do something. And when I first heard about Kickstarter, I'm like, man, that is brilliant. That is brilliant on many levels. Not only are you raising funds, but you're raising excitement and you're exposing yourself to people that are digging what you're doing. And as a creative person, there's no better drug than that. That'll get you out of bed, you know? It does. Yeah, no, it's if you're the only one on the field or in the stands, it's kind of hard sometimes. But you guys did it.
And again, awesome. Yeah, and it absolutely would not have gotten done without all of our supporters, all of our fans, all of our creepers, as we call them. And so I want to definitely thank everybody who supported the Kickstarter for making season two happen. And it is a full-time job, but the most fulfilling thing that has come out of that, besides being able to create the show, was you're right. You are creating investment and excitement. So the people who invested in the show are now, you know, emotionally and immensely invested in the success of the show. So when we released it on Amazon, now all these people who had supported this see the fruits of their investment, and they're more excited about it. They're more thrilled to see how it all put together, you know, campaign that they were involved in. So that's really exciting.
That is so cool, man. That is so cool. Let me ask you real quick, like, when you were a youngster, when you were a kid, did you know that, you know, being a TV star is what you wanted to be, you were going to be doing, you know? Was acting the plan from the get-go, or did that come later?
100%. That was since I was five. I mean, I've always wanted to be an actor, and it just, you know, every big career move I made, even in, you know, in school, in middle school, high school, college, like, everything was geared towards acting in film and television.
No, oh, that's fantastic. That is fantastic. There's, you know, you meet people, and I've met people 60 years old that haven't figured out what they need to be doing. And here you pat it down, you know?
Yeah, I'm lucky to know at least the passion of what I wanted, the figuring out how to get there and how to acquire work and how to make those connections. And especially as the industry keeps changing. I mean, man, when I got to LA, there was a rapid change. When YouTube came out, that was a rapid change. When now streaming services are taking over and networks going away, that's a huge rapid change. Of course, the pandemic, and with, you know, film crews being shut down and kind of less and less being made and released, that changes the industry. Everything, you know, the idea of when I was growing up, looking at actors and how they got to their careers back then, I cannot follow that model anymore. That is a completely different model nowadays. So that part of the thing, I am fortunate and lucky that I knew what I wanted to do, but the how is a constant, you know, learning.
Right. Well, you're right. It has changed, you know, all across entertainment. I remember when, this was, you know, almost 20 years ago, when I first started out doing what I do with the painting, so I had a website put together for me. Paid this gal to do it, and she, you know, put it together. And I was talking to a friend of mine who's in the music business, and he's like, "Well, you're getting a little notoriety now, Jamie. You know, that you're being way too open with this website. Talking to you're too accessible. You know, you got to pull that." And I'm like, you know, I don't know, man. I don't see the future going that direction, you know? And sure enough, I was totally right on that. You know, somebody like yourself, here you are. You're an actor, you know, professional actor. You're in all kinds of stuff. And, you know, you're doing it. And you're probably talking to people on Facebook, or people, if they have a question or something, probably get a hold of you. You know what I mean? And it's not real difficult. There's not a lot of gatekeepers now. You know, between you and fans and people that are interested in what you're doing. I think that's interesting. You know, I think it's pretty cool. Until, you know, maybe not. And, you know, maybe there's some crazy out there you don't want to deal with, but I don't know. it seems pretty neat to me.
No creepy crawling. Guys, no creepy crawling.
That's right. Now, you mentioned you guys did the festival circuit. That's something that a lot of people don't realize and can be very difficult for independent film or anyone, really, is, you know, a lot of people think, oh, well, you just send your film, or the festivals just pick your film out of a hat, I guess, you know, or they hear the buzz about it. They don't realize that checks are written when those are submitted, you know, and you're like, yeah, big deal. But if you're submitting to 50 festivals, that's 50 checks. And they're not for $3, you know. That adds up. That can kill a budget, you know. Or use a lot of it up, I should say. Then everybody loved what you were doing, so, you know, it was worth it.
I'm pretty sure Dan was you know, behind that and was very strategic with which festivals, you know, to submit to you know, which were going to be ultimately beneficial for us. And, you know, a lot of times it was a fantastic experience. Every festival that we went to was an amazing experience, and every award show that we went to was a great experience. So he did a great job in making those selections, and very grateful for all of the festivals that gave us, you know, love and support. So, yeah.
No, fantastic. Well, I have to ask, I know we're getting up against the time, but I have to ask, you've got the Macabreverse built, as you had said, called it. You know, this infrastructure is in place now, and you've got a hell of a team. You know, everybody works real well. The band is playing real tight, you know.
Yeah.
Season 3, can we even mention it yet, or is it a wait and see?
So there would
don't get in trouble.
No, exactly. I'm trying to be diplomatic here. So if there were an invested party, if there was a financier or investors or a production company that was interested in carrying us through to season 3 and wanted to see the rest of the story, I mean, you know, when you get to the end of season 2, you're going to want to see a season 3. You're going to want to know
Absolutely.
What happens to these characters. So if there's an interested party out there who can, help us get to that goal, then absolutely we will have the crew and the cast and the story, and we'll get it ready to go, because we want to tell that story as well. It's just a matter of being able to make it happen.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime. And treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beatty, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another. A friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please, visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Roxgear, the online webshop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierox.us.
I hear you. Well, any of my listeners, Movie production's great. You get to wear berets, you know, and walk around with a microphone, and it's fantastic. You get an IMDb page, you know.
Right.
Just get it
probably. Yes,
right,
exactly.
Yeah.
Please.
The best ones, and specifically those investors who just want to write a check and not actually be part of the day-to-day filming operation. I'm teasing, kind of.
Well,
I've never dealt with that, but if it's anything like the other
up,
world,
you bring up a really good point. I mean, there are producers who are – the word producer is very general, and a lot of folks don't really know what that means, what that entails. And there are producers that their role is to be on set and actually – make the production work. You know, they're putting all the pieces together to make everything happen so that we have all the props, we have the location, we have the people, and that's a hands-on role. Excuse me.
Oh, yeah.
There are also producers who make that same thing happen with their money, with their financial investment, and they don't have to do anything else because they want to see the show succeed and they want to finance the production and get the credit and get the notoriety, but they don't really have to do any other work beyond that. So there is definitely a producer role that is tailored to that as well. Yeah.
Well, and it's and that's fantastic, you know, and people, it's interesting. The movie business is, and you know, and here's the thing. Here is the thing. The carrot that is dangled before so many horses is, you know, there are those films that have dropped, independent films that have dropped, where, you know, not a ton of investment was made as far as money was spent, and then they just hit, you know. And, of course, I'm talking like Blair Witches and Paranormal Activity,
yeah,
and things like that. And, you know, all of a sudden somebody's buying an infinity pool in Malibu, you know, and they didn't plan on that. And that's the thing,
exactly.
You know. But that doesn't happen all the time, but you never know. And and all I'm saying is, you've got something. Whenever people ask me about investing any kind of money in anything, I always say, "What's the track record? Show me what's happened." Well, we've got two seasons, two hit seasons with all kinds of accolades from festivals and everything. Yeah, that's a pretty good track record. That's all I say.
Yeah,
good horse.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, thanks for the
good
work.
Awesome.
Yeah.
yeah, absolutely. Now, I know you're probably – are you working on other stuff as well while doing all the L.A. Macabre?
So I'll be honest, there's not a lot going on right now due to the pandemic, and also just, you know, during the holiday season, it usually kind of shuts down. I've done a couple voiceover jobs recently, and that's, you know, easy to do from home, distance, and I have a, you know, a setup and things like that. But I'm also developing a podcast myself, so maybe I'll need to hit you up for some notes. But working on that. So yeah,
I don't know. I can tell you what not to do. You know, I'm telling you, this is one of those things where you just kind of jump in the pool. At least I did, and you know, I'm probably doing it all. I'm probably doing four times as much work as I need to be doing. You know, that's one of my stories of my life. It's we're in the middle right now of. I was so resistant to this for a long time, till my wife finally, you know, beat it over my head. She's like, everybody's like, you need a Patreon, and I'm like, man, I don't want to do a Patreon. Are you kidding me? That's just another thing that I don't have time to do. And, you know, they're like, well, you give all this stuff away for free anyway. You need to be, you know, setting this up right.
Yeah.
And I, you know, talked to a lady we know that does business management and everything. And she kind of, you know, she's like, think of it this way, Jamie. It's a VIP room at a club. I'm like, okay, now I understand. Yes, we need to do that. It's hard with all the social media and internet stuff. You've got it really down really well. We have a link, ladies and gentlemen, to Ryan's website, which is very easy to find. It's, you know, ryanhillcliff.com. You've got a fantastic website. It's simple.
Oh, thank you.
To the point, does an awesome job. You know, whoever did that, whoever you got to do that, buy them a cup of coffee next time you see them because they earn that.
Well,
that is a great website.
Thank you. I'll buy myself a cup of coffee.
Oh, well, there you go.
No, but yeah.
There you go. Even better. Even. You know, Ryan. I was telling you when I started out, I did. This is a very true story. I paid this gal to make my website, and I was kind of dating her at the same time. I mean, you know, when you're young, these kind of things happen, and it didn't work out. And you know, but we're both professionals, so I didn't think much about it until I logged into my website about a week later, and it just said it. Everything was gone except real big text. It said, "Jamie is a jerk." And
oh, no.
That was it. Yeah. And I didn't have any of the passwords, you know, because she did it all.
Oh, God.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, I went down to the community college there, City College in San Diego, and took a class on HTML, learned how to do that stuff myself. You know,
wow. You
were ahead of the curve, my friend, so you don't have to worry about any of that kind of stuff.
A lot easier nowadays with the website builders, you know, and they make it pretty plug and play and, you know, pretty easy to do. And it helps to have a, you know, like you said, it's a very simple website. I need it to be simple for, you know, for casting directors and producers to find me and be able to look right away at the headshots, look right away at the resume, look right away at the reels without having to navigate stuff. If I had to build a more complex site for any reason, that's beyond me. I would hire somebody.
Yeah, it's I have all these like art friends and their websites are just weird as hell. You know, you're like, and music people the same way. A lot of them, they're like, oh, I tried to listen to your new songs and I couldn't find them. They're like, well, did you put the banana from the monkey and the tree? And I'm like, I don't need to do all that. I just put a link up, man, or just put it there. Hi, it's great. You like I said, you've got a great website. None of those problems.
Thank you.
Which is fantastic.
I appreciate that.
Well,
thank you.
I want to see more. You're right. I watched season two, man. I watched season two, Bella McCobb, and I want to see more. So whatever we can do, you know, whatever we can do to make that happen, let's get it going.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Thank you. I want to as well. So thank you for saying that.
I hear you. Right. Ryan, I'm going to tell you, and you already know this, I'm sure, but in case nobody's told you this today, keep doing what you're doing because you're real good at it. The whole team, man, this whole show is everybody's real good at it, you know? It's just fantastic.
I'm incredibly, incredibly grateful to work with such a talented crew that, you know, again, three people on the main skeleton crew did the majority of all the work on behind the scenes. And then you have this plethora of incredible actors. And I, you know, luckily, as one of the, you know, the top series regulars, like I got to work with almost every actor on the show. And that was such an incredible experience because they're all so talented. They made me a much better actor, you know, working with Korska, working with Aiden, I could just keep going on all the names, but there's just so many actors who I got to work with that, again, like I said, made me a better actor just by being in that scene with them, you know, and working with them.
No, it's so cool. It's so cool. Hey, and when you guys get ready to, you know, do your director's cut and a Blu-ray and the re-release and all this kind of stuff, you know, because this series is going to be around. I'm telling you, people are going to eat this up. You know, in the, what do they call it? They do all the talking after the show. And well, in this scene, we were doing this and we wanted this.
You know,
the sun was at this degree.
Mm-hmm.
You got to put some of them. Have them put some of those crock pot recipes in there because I get crock pot. I want to make LA crock pot dinners. You know,
that's hilarious. Hollywood. I will have to tell that to Dan. I'll have to. You know, we're talking about, and I don't know if you know, this hasn't been officially announced, so I don't know if it's in the works or not. But we're talking about potentially doing a watch party on Amazon. That's a new feature that I think just got put up this year with Amazon. And you can connect people. Anybody can join the watch party, and we can control the pausing and the you know playing back and forth, so that we can talk about the scene and do exactly what you're talking about, doing that behind the scenes version of it. I think it would be hilarious. I'm going to take your idea and tell Dan, because that'd be hilarious to go. Now in this scene right here. We had just come back from lunch eating one of our famous crock pot meals, and here's the recipe for that. You know, that's a great idea.
That is Awesome. I've only been on the set of a few independent films, less than 10. And every time I am, talk about micro budgets, the craft services, you know, lunch, or dinner, or sometimes both, is always those $5 pizzas from Little Caesars. And
yes.
It's always and when you said craft, I'm like, wow, this is pinky out, man.
Upgrade. Oh, upgrade, nice. Yeah.
Yeah. This is how they do it in L.A. Man, this is great. That's fantastic. That is fantastic. Well, you know, just keep doing them, man. And, yeah, let me know. Let me know, because we're friends on Facebook and stuff. Let me know if you guys do that watch party thing, because not only do I want to go, I'll blast it out to all my people as well, too.
Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I have several friends that I told about this series, and they're like, oh, we're checking it out. We're checking it out. And
well, we definitely want to give people a chance to see the entire, you know, series up to this point. So I recommend watching season one and two before the watch party, because, you know, the watch party is going to be filled with spoilers, and we're going to be talking about things that are going to happen in future episodes. So you don't want to have that be your first experience. You want to be able to immerse yourself in the show on the first go round. So, you know, we want to give people enough time to do that before we do that watch party. So that's something I recommend. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, another cool thing about this, ladies and gentlemen, is, you know, you'll see a lot of these web series, and they're great. And I'm not throwing don't throw shade at people. I'm not throwing shade at anybody. I'm not being disparaging towards anyone, but there'll be, you know, oh, well, this episode was 7 minutes long, or this episode was 10 minutes long, you know. You guys do, these are good chunks. I mean, this isn't just a bite of dinner. This is a plate of dinner, you know, consistently. Every episode, I think
it's
the same
currently
length.
Yeah, if you combine, you know, season one and two, it is 15 episodes, and they all run about 30 minutes long. You know, there's a few, give or take, but for the most part, they're all about 30 minutes or more. Yeah.
That is fantastic, because that's just kind of out of the norm, from at least the web series I've seen, you know. It's great. It's great. And good effects, good, you know, man, attention. And I don't even want to get into it, because I wind up slipping and giving something away that I don't, that I shouldn't, and I'll get in trouble for it. But
that's my biggest fear in these interviews, is that I'll say something offhand, and they'll be like, oh, wait, haven't spoiled anything yet. But
I will say this, it's tension, baby. It is tension and suspenseful, like you know. Dan obviously has watched a Hitchcock movie or two, because he's got that suspense. Filmmaking down, baby. This is good stuff.
Yeah, he is really, really good at that. Yeah.
Wow, that's fantastic. I bet.
And he's really good at leading.
I bet he's one of those guys.
Leading.
Finish your thought. Finish your thought.
I was gonna,
go ahead.
Leaving. He's really good at leaving cliffhangers as well. At the end of every episode. So yeah.
No, but it draws you in, man. That's smart. You know, that's smart. I bet he's the kind of guy that has the really cool house on Halloween on his block. You know what I mean? But it's subtle at the same time. It's like, hey, what's that? Because a lot of this was, there was a lot of WTF moments in this show. You know, we're just like, what?
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah, you know, he's a very, very unassuming guy in terms of when I read the script, it's like, oh, there's some dark moments, or there's some like concepts that I'm like, wow, he really had to think this out in a deranged, demented way. And you meet the guy, and he's a nice guy. He's not like, you know, this dark brooding, you know, guy at all. And you're like, man, you got some messed up things thinking inside your head for this show.
think he tosses and turns a little bit, do you? Oh, man, that is fantastic. Well, you know, it's interesting, too, because I saw a picture of him, and he's kind of normal. After you watch the show, you'd expect, you know, like, oh, there's got to be some Rob Zombie-looking guy or something, you know, at the very minimum. No, not at all. Which makes it even creepier, actually. That's what makes it, not that he's creepy, but just you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
He's a very intelligent guy. He's very intelligent, so he can craft those dark experiences and craft that narrative, you know, without being this creepy, dark, brooding guy. You know, he can just kind of think of those things and make it happen.
Well, that was fantastic. He does a great job, and we love it because we're watching it. You know what I mean? This is one of those series I'm going to watch a couple times. I'm telling you right now, man, my friend Julie, into this.
Thanks for saying that. It's definitely great when you watch it and you can watch it again. It is made to have some rewatch value because there are absolutely scenes that you will watch the second time through and pick up brand new information that you just can't have until you watch it the first time through. And you'll see character performances that are playing on both notes. They're playing on what you expected when you watch it the first time, and then when you know new information and you're coming back the second time, you see that performance read a totally different way, and it completely lands both ways. So that's something it's really fun to see. There's clues, you know, sprinkled throughout, and going back and kind of seeing those with a new light is really fun.
That's awesome, man. That is awesome. Well, this is such a cool series. And you're a cool guy, you know. I'm so glad that you were able to take time out of your schedule to be on the show and everything, and class to join up. It's just so cool. Like I said, I cannot wait to see more because this is
thanks.
Really cool.
You're very easy to talk to as well, so I really appreciate you having me on. It's been a lot of fun. And ironically, I'm actually sitting in my mother's art room right now, and I know you're a very talented painter, and I'm surrounded right now by paintbrushes and and paints and colors, so I feel like I'm a little bit in your world right now.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Quick, run away. No, I'm teasing. No, the painting part is the fun part. Yeah, it's like the film business, you know, the acting and the telling stories and all that. I imagine it's way much more fun than, well, we've got to talk to this distributor and, you know, do this and that. And they need a reshoot. Those people are in Africa now on a different movie. What do you mean a reshoot? You know, they blew up at police station. Are you kidding me? You know, that isn't the art world's kind of the same thing. The business side is what sucks, you know. But it's part of it. If you want to eat, that's what you got to do, you know.
Yep.
Well, that's cool, man. Well, I would love to see some of your mother's work. That's amazing and everything. Are you up there for the holiday? You going to stay through Christmas? You think?
Yep, and stay through Christmas. She had a birthday yesterday, and so celebrate the birthday,
that's
and then Christmas.
Tell her
Christmas
I said
coming
happy
up,
birthday.
So, yeah.
I saw it on Instagram, and that's cool. You guys are like
we'll
at the beach or something. We rode
horses yesterday. That was fun. Yeah, so she's got a
couple
horses.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, cool. Oh, yeah, she's painting and she's got horses. She's living the life. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That is fantastic. Well, very cool, Ryan. Well, hey, man, have a great holiday, you know, and everything. And be careful on those horses, but you'll be fine. That's cool, man. That is awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
And
you too.
Movies.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And I will. I want to. Thank you for the encouragement. I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. And Merry Christmas to you and your family as well. And ladies and gentlemen, we went way past the time, but that's okay. That's okay. It was Ryan's fascinating to talk to. Man, I could sit here and talk to Ryan all day long. this episode, of course, will be converted to a podcast. We'll push it out on all the various social media platforms and on all the podcasting platforms. We're on like 250, 260, something like that. All the big ones, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, all that kind of stuff, Spotify. Or you can always go to my website, jamierocks.us, and, you know, my wife was doing the books the other day, and she told me, she said, you realize if somebody wanted to listen to your show, you know, they just really wanted to listen to you talk, Jamie. She's like, If they listen to every episode, it would take them 46 days, 24 hours.
Wow.
I'm like, if anybody's out there that wants to do that, please don't. Go find something else to do. You've got way too much time on your hands, man. You can listen to this show, though, for a couple times. That's great, but, ooh, man, some of those early ones, too, they were bad. Anyway, man, good luck with Ryan
well,
with the podcast,
all the content,
too. And,
though, you know?
Oh, yeah, I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. I've had so many crazy experiences. Like we have the call-in option, but rarely do people call in. People get if they do, then they don't say anything. You know what I mean? That happens a lot. But I tell you, the weirdest one I had, I had a musician guest on, and apparently he had been late with his support payment or something, and his ex-wife called in, wanting to know where the check was. It was the craziest thing, man. I'm trying to turn it on. I'm like, where's the hammer? How do I turn this off?
Wow.
Because there's all these little simple things. Yeah, it was. I didn't know.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, that's great. But yeah, like I said, we're friends on Instagram and everything. Just message me. Whatever I can do to help with the podcast launch, let me know. And I'm always here for you, man.
Oh, thank you so much.
Cool.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah. And it's very easy to do, and it's not too bad. You know, it's a little bit of work, but not bad. It ain't digging ditches or anything like that.
Definitely not digging holes in the desert. That's
no mucking your mom's stables. You know, see, she's probably happy. You say she has. When you said she has horses, I spent summers on a ranch. I know that means that's code for a lot of work. But they're all animals, you know. Oh, hey, have a good day and a good weekend, and I will talk to you soon. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back Sunday. So we've got a fantastic guest, Geraldine Singer, on. She is the antagonist. That's the bad guy, for those who don't know. That's what that means. Of a new movie, action-packed movie called Army of One. And she's the sweetest lady in the world, but, man, she's mean in the movie. So that's called acting. Very, very cool. We'll see you next time, everybody. Have a good one, Ryan. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Tana Oli, Pop Rocks Radio. Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.